You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.
From food to fun and so much more, The Joan Hamburg Show, exclusively on 77 WABC.
Maria Bernardes is a cookbook author, a health coach, a teacher, a founder of Greekalicious. Believe it or not, in Sydney, Australia, their first Greek cooking school. She has a beautiful new book called My Greek Family Table. And it comes at a great time. There are so many Mediterranean or Greek restaurants opening in Manhattan that more and more people are wanting to experiment and cook delicious Greek food. I know one of the best trips when we were very young and traveling a lot was going to Greece. We went to an island which was then fairly unknown called Poros. And I can still remember the taste of the tomatoes and the figs. And Maria, through her own life, relives a lot of the wonderful experiences that many of you have traveling through Greece. And your own story is rather extraordinary, Maria. You know, when people are successful, they write books, everyone thinks it's always been easy. But your adventure was not easy.
No. And I think it was important to, first of all, thank you for having me on the show, I should say, Joe. But Joan, but I want to say it hasn't been easy. And the reason why I thought I needed to write my story and to share it is to let people know that, you know, every tragedy in life or every difficulty that we face, you know, we can turn those tears to triumph and do something beautiful such as, you know, write a book as I have.
Right, but when you talk about your whole family and all the experiences and what it was like for them living in Greece during World War II, the terrible deprivation, and about many members of the family deciding to go to Australia, which was a huge step, and babies went, and yet your mother was diagnosed with cancer, you were probably only around 2 years old.
Yes, I was. And the interesting thing is, you know, that sort of unfortunate cancer scenario carried forward to our family. And, you know, my sister recently was diagnosed with cancer, and I had a lot of illnesses where I had cysts developing into cancer. So I think that was one of my inspirations where the doctors couldn't help me as to why we had this history of cancer. And so I traveled around Greece and searched out books and recipes, from the ancient Greeks and from the people there now, to heal myself, because no one could help me with my healing. The doctors kept saying, well, you just need to come into hospital again, and, right, you know, we need to remove this lump. I was really sort of frustrated. So I think that's been one of the other catalysts as to why in this in my Greek family table, I've incorporated a lot of healing wisdom so that people can look at ingredients and say, well, you know what, I've got a blood pressure issue. Why don't I incorporate a little bit of cinnamon in my everyday life?
Mm-hmm. Which is, people don't realize, very powerful. Little dab of cinnamon can really have the most positive effect.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Joan, yeah.
But you and your sister, when your mom died so young, and your dad just couldn't deal with it at the time, you were in an orphanage, and then ultimately,
yeah,
and you describe waiting for your parents to pick you up, waiting at a door, and they didn't come. And then they sent you to an island in Greece where your father's mother lived. And that wasn't easy for your grandmother or for you children.
No, and you know what, may she rest in peace, because of course she's not living now, but I don't know how she did it, having, you know, two little girls just sort of, you know, front up on her doorstep and, you know, having to sort of take on the role of, being a mother again. And what people may not know is at those times, living on a Greek island, we had no electricity and no flushing toilets. Yeah. So it was a hard life. And, you know, one of my chores was to dig holes, make a bathroom, so to speak. And, you know, I had to sort of feed the chickens and feed the goat and milk the goat. And, you know, we had an outdoor communal oven, so we had to put the wood and, so things that we take for granted here, such as ovens and electricity.
Were not part of your early life.
No, I didn't know what that was. And it was, you know, we bathed, you know, had to warm water outside and essentially bathe outside, whether it was sort of winter or summer. But the thing that I did appreciate is, A, everything that I have in my life at present, but B, also, I think it was good for me because it made me realize the importance of and my reliance on the land for ingredients. So I appreciate that a tomato is seasonal and, you know, it sort of thrives in summer and not in winter. So I started to work with the seasons, with the ingredients of that season, and learn all the fundamentals of cooking from the ground up.
And then at some point, and you had a little secret garden, which sounded heavenly, but at that point your father had remarried, and even though you hadn't seen him in a while, he sent for the children to come back. So then you had to deal with another situation with a very difficult stepmother.
Yes. Unfortunately, you know, we did suffer, you know, a lot of sort of, you know, physical, emotional, and so on, abuse. And I didn't know from very many years, I didn't know that she was my stepmother. I assumed she was my mother because, of course, at 2 years old...
You didn't really remember.
I didn't remember. So I couldn't understand why, you know, the both of them weren't sort of, you know, treating us well. And I did suffer a lot of starvation. So maybe this is why I'm so passionate about food and cooking and healing and, you know, nourishing people and always having an abundance of food for my friends, because I did suffer a number of years of, you know, starvation, because that was, you know, one of the many punishments that was...
What happened to her?
Well, believe it or not, she's still living on an island.
In Australia?
No, in Greece.
In Greece.
Yeah, on the island of Chios, which is where the Greek chewing gum comes from. But, of course, I've had absolutely, you know, no contact since that time when we were sort of taken away from... by the police, of course, because of all the abuse. But
what a story. And your father didn't, he probably just didn't know how to handle his life.
No, he didn't. And, you know, sometimes I do believe in this whole karma thing, and certain things happen in our life for a reason. And I believe that everything that's happened in my life, and I know a lot of people listening to this will relate to this, we all go through difficulties. Every single person has a story. You know, it's not just unique to me. But I want to say to people that, you know, we can choose to let these situations get us down and put us on the wrong path. Or what I chose to do was to keep moving forward, have faith in myself that there was something better out there and that I was going to make a difference in this world and help others. And, you know, and I do that through my health and wellness. I do that, you know, through writing books such as My Greek Family Table, having the honor of speaking to you and sharing this message. And I think that's what we're here for. We're here to help one another.
So who was your mentor? Please take you away. I mean, you had already, as little children, been shifted from pillar to post, really feeling abandoned many times.
Yeah.
So who was there to reach out a hand?
Yeah. Well, this was interesting. There was really no one, to be honest with you, Joan, because I really have no family other than, you know, my sister and my aunt, Stavroula, who then took us in.
Right. So and where was she then? Was she in Australia?
In Australia, yes. God bless her. She was in Australia. So she, you know, took us in from about the age of 12, you know, to 18. She was my mother's sister. And that's when I started to... I mean, I didn't know how to love at that stage. So that's when it was the first time when someone showed love towards me. And I thought, well, what's this? I've never felt someone care about me. So she basically saved us. And this is also when my deep appreciation for cooking developed, because for our bond was cooking. That's how we expressed our love to each other. So I then began to associate the whole ritual of cooking and being in the kitchen to love. And so this is also the way that I express my love to friends and people, by cooking. So I'm not merely cooking. When I cook for someone or I cook for anybody, I'm actually sharing my love, because that's the way I was taught how to love, as the first way of sharing love in my life.
And this new book, My Greek Family Table, not only has stories, but wonderful recipes from explaining that the Greek meal always includes a salad, a mezze, and then your main course, and sometimes the sweet. My favorite sweet in the whole world turned out to be your aunt's favorite, and she would make it. And I never pronounce it right, but it's the mixture, the semolina mixture, in phyllo with like almost a custardy thing in it.
Yeah, the galactoburiko.
Galactoburiko. Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you how I love that. And it's so disappointing in so many restaurants. Now I have your recipe.
Yeah, and now you can make it.
Doesn't look hard.
You know, it lasts for a week. You can make a big batch. You don't have to sort of, you know, make little portions and enjoy it for the full week.
No, it looks absolutely delicious. And my husband's favorite is moussaka. And it's a classic, but your recipe sounds so good. Of course, it has cinnamon in it, too, and a little nutmeg.
Yeah, absolutely. And because, you know, we have to be careful of the page count and everything with these books, I would have loved to have had different versions of moussaka, because a lot of people don't realize the original moussaka was not made with bechamel cream, which is a French cream, of course.
Right.
It was made with yogurt mixed with egg yolks and a thick layer slathered on the top and then baked.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Yeah, and it's a healthier version as well.
Right, exactly.
Yogurt and egg yolks, yeah.
And a lot of vegetarian dishes in here too, from a baked pumpkin to fennel and delicious fish dishes. So if you are preparing a meal for yourself, a treat, what would it be?
Wow. Well, I'd have to say I would have to choose the dishes that people are not familiar with in my book. And it would be, for example, if people love seafood, I would be cooking my ouzo spiked oysters. So, you know, very simple dressing that I do on fresh oysters. Or one that was a huge hit, and in most of the media, sort of back in Australia when I used to make it, which is the mastic-infused prawns with kadaifi pastry. So I infuse the prawns in Greek chewing gum to give them a sweet, unique flavor, and then I wrap them with, it's like a phyllo pastry, but shredded, like noodle, really thin noodle, and then I wrap it and lightly fry it. So they would have to be my two sort of, you know, mezzes. And then because I love seafood and vegetarian, I'm mostly vegetarian with a bit of seafood, I would probably do my ancient Greek swordfish souvlaki, which I cross with sort of, you know, fennel seeds and lemon zest and fish sauce. And a lot of people don't associate fish sauce with Greek cooking.
Not at all. I was surprised when I saw that in some of the recipes.
Yeah, but yet it was the first ingredient that was used in ancient Greece for salt. And then, of course, they used sea salt. So I'm trying to get, you know, unusual, ingredients that people wouldn't associate with Greek. I've sort of put them in the book just to let people know that they were used in ancient times. So, yeah, and then I have many salads. I love salads. So I'm trying to showcase that there's not just one salad called a Greek salad. There's actually no such thing as a Greek salad. Mm-hmm. There are Greek salads, plural.
Right.
So I've got some, you know, the salad of Santorini is one of my favorite because it takes me back to there. The salad of Crete, you know, with the barley rusk, because that takes me back to Crete. So I have many favorite dishes, but people probably won't recognize them until they see them in the book, because they're not made in any restaurants.
Exactly.
In the world, to be honest with you. A lot of these recipes are not in any restaurant in the world, and I think this is why I felt compelled to write this book, because people need to know about these recipes.
And it's very exciting. Everything, even from Maria, her favorite baked potatoes, and sounds like it's easy, and it is easy to make, but a taste you probably haven't experienced. Thank you, Maria. Congratulations. All the best to you.
Thank you, John. Thank you. God bless.
You too. Maria Bernardis with her beautiful new book, My Greek Family Table.